Now, one of our special guests, Joe Sheehan, joins us. And, of course, we've had him on the show before. The newsletter he puts out is absolutely the best in baseball. And Joe, nice to have you on the show.
Marty, how you doing today?
Very good. And I always like to let you give the plug for the newsletter and where they can follow you. I love it. I get it every day. And as I say, I think it's the best in baseball. So go ahead.
I appreciate that. I'm publishing the Joe Sheehan Baseball Newsletter since 2010. Was with Baseball Prospectus before that, so I've been writing about baseball for about 20 years. And it's just, you know, coverage of the game. Definitely have an analytical bent, a stat head bent, and I like to write about the game. So, you know, I write for Baseball America, I write for Sports Illustrated, and have a lot of other ideas. So I end up putting them in the newsletter. People can check it out at facebook.com. Sheehan Newsletter. This is a great time to sign up. Instead of doing second half previews, Marty, I do third previews, because you know the way the trade deadline changes everything. So over the next couple of days, I'm going to be hitting every single team, talking about the rest of their season, whether they're, you know, all the way from the Marlins all the way up to the Red Sox and Yankees. So check it out, facebook.com, Sheehan Newsletter, or check out everything I do at Joe_Sheehan on Twitter.
Very good. Very good. It's worth it. I'm looking forward to getting the newsletter the next few days. But as long as we have you on, let's talk about the National League West a little bit. The Giants sort of teetering and hanging on. They had two bad games from Stratton and Suarez, and the Diamondbacks took advantage of it. The Dodgers ran into the buzzsaw of Houston, 3 hits, 28 strikeouts in 2 games. Colorado has the curse of Wade Davis going on right now. You tell me what's going on for this last third with the National League West.
Well, I definitely think there's going to be some separation. The Dodgers and Diamondbacks, the most talented teams in the division, especially when you consider the health issues that the Giants have had. The Diamondbacks, really, with the big improvement at the deadline, getting Jake Diekman and Brad Ziegler to help them bridge from that rotation to the back of their bullpen. Of course, the Dodgers going out, adding to their bullpen, picking up Manny Machado. I think we're going to see some separation from those teams. You mentioned Wade Davis. The Rockies put so much money into their bullpen, and they ended up with, you know, a bullpen that's okay, but they bought into a declining market, signing guys like Brian Shaw and Wade Davis. We see the best bullpens in the game, Marty, tend to be cheap, tend to be assembled on the cheap. You think about even the Giants right now, you know, pulling a Reyes Maranta out of their system, bringing up a Ray Black. You build bullpens from within. You build bullpens before these guys get expensive. And then, of course, the Giants, you know, it's really tough. You know, if they've been healthy all year, I think they would be right there with the Diamondbacks and Dodgers. But the separation is the missing starts from Cueto, the missing starts from Bumgarner, the missing days that Brandon Belt hasn't played. We've really seen the Giants miss him. You know, he's been put on the DL. He's going to be out, I believe, for another week or so. And this is a team that just, it's already one of the worst on-base percentage teams in the league. To lose their best OBP guy is a crippling blow.
Yeah, so what do they do with Andrew McCutchen, 5-for-5 last night? Is there a market, and I listened to Al Avila on Sirius this morning on MLB radio, and he was really pretty good talking to Jim Bowden, and he said, you got to have a partner. You know, everybody talks about trading people, but you got to find a partner. You think the Giants have a partner for McCutchen if they try to move that money?
I think they're going to have exactly one partner, because I can't see McCutchen getting through waivers. He's only owed $45 million left on this year's contract.
Right.
I can't imagine that guy getting all the way through waivers. So the Giants' partner is going to be picked for them. It's a matter of whether, you know, they feel like the prospect they're going to get. And, you know, McCutchen is an MVP. He was the face of the franchise in Pittsburgh. But what he is right now is a 31-year-old corner outfielder who's an average plus hitter. As a right fielder, he's a good right fielder, but he's not a superstar. He's not Machado. So I think the best you can do in a trade like that is, you know, one B-minus prospect or a couple of C prospects. There's an argument here that given where the Giants are trying to squeeze another championship out of the Bumgarner-Posey team, unless they fall completely off the pace here and they're I believe they're six out of the division, five and a half out of the second wild card today. Unless they really fall to like 9 or 10 back, especially when you consider all the games they still have left with the Diamondbacks, Dodgers, and Rockies, they may as well just hold on to McCutchen.
Okay. All right. Well, I talked about Tyson Ross today. He's on waivers. Bob Nightingale just tweeted out that the Cardinals were the team that that grabbed him. Jordan Lyles was claimed by the Brewers. I thought the Giants should go after Tyson Ross. It's only $500,000, but apparently they did not put in a claim for him because the Cardinals were certainly after the Giants. That surprised me.
I'd have to see what the standings were on the day of the claim. Is it possible the Cardinals got to pick ahead of the Giants when Ross went on waivers? I know these two teams have been close on the standings for a week now, so it's possible that the Cardinals just got to pick ahead of them. Ross isn't an impact guy, though. Ross is an innings guy at this point in his career. He's been an all-star in the past. He showed that slider and come back at the start of the year, but you know, really, if you look at his April versus the rest of the season, you know, since that April, he hasn't been that great. He would be a number five on this team, or he'd be a long reliever on this team. I'm not sure I'd bump anybody currently in the rotation. It's not a big deal that they missed out on Tyson Ross. What they probably need more than anything else is another outfielder.
Okay. All right. I'll accept that. Pittsburgh comes in here on Thursday. I don't think we see Archer because I think if they have all their games and stay in a rotation, now they could go in a six-man rotation. But Archer potentially comes in with the Pirates on Thursday. First of all, the Pirates ran off that huge winning streak. Are they back in anything? And what do you think of the Archer trade?
Almost the same situation the Giants are in, where they're too close to contention. You know, another six-game winning streak puts them a couple games out of the wild card to really sell. But they're clearly behind all of the teams like the Brewers and the Rockies who are ahead of them in the standings. It's so jumbled, Marty. It's 11 teams separated by, I think this morning, it's 11. It's eight games. We just haven't seen this kind of bunching since, what, the 1967 American League, which is a great race. So I think that the Pirates, in making the Archer trade, kind of define their window as 18, 19, 20, which I really love to see. We've seen the Brewers be aggressive this year, go out and trade for Christy Yelich and sign Lorenzo Cain. I think it's good for the game when these teams in smaller markets that we think of as not being competitive go out and make aggressive moves. I think it was a fair trade. I think the Rays kind of pushed their window forward by getting Glasnow and Meadows. They took a chance on the upside of Glasnow with that power arm. They took a chance on the upside of Meadows with all of his great physical skills. He's been injured a lot the last couple of years. It's deterred his improvement. And they traded away a pitcher in Archer who 3 years ago we thought was going to be a number one, and he's kind of settled off as a number three. So I think it was a really good baseball trade as much as it was anything else. For all the, I mean, the contract mattered, Marty, but in today's game, this is as close to a baseball trade as we've seen.
Boy, Joe Sheehan with us. Always, Joe, it's great stuff. It really is on a Sunday morning just to have you on. Yesterday I talked a lot about the Phillies. And I said, if the Phillies win the National League East, they have to win the East, not a wild card, win the East, I think they're a threat to win the pennant because of their starting pitching. You get Nola in a couple of games in a five-game series. You got Arrieta, Velasquez. You got Eflin is in there. You've got Pivetta. You agree with that? Do you think the Phillies are a major threat if they win the division?
You know, Marty, philosophically, I'm always going to say that any team good enough to make the playoffs is good enough to go all the way. Remember, we're 4 years removed from seeing the two wildcard teams, the Giants and Royals, make it all the way to the World Series. The Giants, of course, winning. I don't have to tell anybody listening to this about that year. I see what you're saying about Arrieta and Nola up front. I'd be a little bit concerned. You know, Arrieta went through a stretch in June where he was getting hit really hard. And then you've got Nola, who by the end of September is going to be really pushing up against innings totals he's never had before. You go to the playoffs now, and it's as much about the bullpen as it is the starting pitching. And that's where I think the Phillies are going to be a little bit weak compared to some of these other teams. They've got Sir Anthony Dominguez. They've got Pat Neshek off the DL. They've got this lefty, Austin Davis, who they recently called up. He's a power guy. So there's some potential there. But if I was projecting the playoff field now, even with the Phillies winning the division, I'd probably have them as no better than a three seed behind whoever comes out of the Central or the West.
All right. Very good. All right. Well, you heard it here. I like the Phillies. I like their pitching, and we'll see what happens there. Any bad trades on the deadline? I mean, there were more trades, I think, that they've had like in 20 years. Anything that you say, wow, why did that happen?
That, to me, is the fascinating thing about the deadline. I got into this 20-odd years ago, and the idea was, you know, the outsiders kind of knew things the insiders didn't in terms of player valuation and how to win games. Over 20 years, think about the data revolution. You think about the changing face of front offices with all these Ivy League guys coming in. You think about all of these teams now having large quantitative analysis groups. We're not seeing, you're never going to see Jeff Bagwell for Larry Anderson again. You're never going to see, you know, Fred McGriff for Dale Murray, George Steinbrenner ruining my childhood in the 1980s. you're never going to see those trades again. Teams just, I don't see anybody thinks the same way. It's not quite that uniform, but everybody's using roughly the same tools to arrive at roughly the same valuations. And I think that was one of the big stories of the deadline. There wasn't a mistake trade. There wasn't, teams are not overvaluing 2 months of a star before he goes away. We're seeing those guys get priced properly. So I just think it's fascinating how far the industry has come in 20 years.
I was surprised to see Jonathan Scope go from the Orioles to the Brewers. I thought this is a good power hitter and a legitimate hitter. I was surprised to see him go. And I don't know what the Orioles got back. I realize that Duquette is trying to redo the whole system and maybe save his job. But what do you think of that one?
You know, Scope is a star because of the power you mentioned. He's also a plus defensive second baseman. Yeah. But in today's game, it's hard to have a lot of value if you have an on-base percentage that low. I want to say he's in the 270s this year. And this has always been a problem for Scope. He can hit 270, 280 in his good years, but he's not going to draw enough walks to have a high OBP, and that limits his value. I think when you look at what the Orioles got back, the international money matters. The prospect in Luis Ortiz, I mean, he's down a notch, but he's been a good prospect in the past. And I think he's going to help bolster that staff. And I think I could see him in the opening day rotation for the Orioles next year. So in terms of getting value for the player, I think they did a pretty good job. The Orioles completely turned over their roster. I might like the Scope deal, Marty, a little bit better because I do see it kind of as part of this, hey, look, we're going to strip the roster, get as many prospects as possible. I think in isolation, it probably looks a little bit worse, but because of Scope's OBP, I'm going to lean towards it being a pretty good deal for the Orioles.
All right, very good, Joe. You see Dozier having anything left? I know he went to the Dodgers. I sort of would have liked to have seen him here to help the Giants offense, at least even as a rental. What about Dozier to the Dodgers?
It'll be interesting to see. He's been a streaky hitter in his career. There are people pointing out that he's got really good second-half numbers. You go back to 2 years ago, he had that monster second-half for the Twins. And he was better in the second-half last year as well. He'll be an upgrade defensively. I think that's really what the Dodgers are going to get out of this. It's similar to the Ian Kinsler deal for the Red Sox. Kinsler got hurt right after it. But in both cases, these contending teams had been kind of faking second base, the Red Sox because of the Pedroia injury, the Dodgers just because they didn't have a good solution there. So even if Dozier doesn't hit any better than he did for the Twins, 230, 310 OBP, a 400 slugging, the defensive upgrade alone is going to make a big difference for them.
Ah, boy, I'll just give you a couple more. I know we can keep you on for a while, but you got a lot to do this Sunday. Sonny Gray, what happened to him and what's his future?
Short right-handed pitchers are always going to be a little bit problematic. Tend to be max effort guys. They have a hard time getting plane on their fastball. And I think Gray, we saw somebody was as good as he was ever going to be coming out of Vanderbilt, had a couple good years. And once he started breaking down physically, he wasn't going to be that same guy. I thought the A's did a really good job last year, trading him essentially at the peak of his value. If you look at the first half of last year for Sonny Gray, that's kind of the best he pitched in about a four-year stretch. So I'm not surprised that he struggled with the Yankees this year. It's obviously difficult pitching in the American League East, pitching in that ballpark. I don't think you're going to ever see him be a number two again, which is what he looked like in Oakland at his best. I think he can eat innings for a team, be a number four, number five, but the upside just isn't there anymore.
I think he leaves New York. I think that's going to happen. Just a question of how they do it, because they're not going to put up with that. Which brings me to the last question. The Red Sox have just crushed the Yankees here this week. Aaron Boone's under a lot of pressure, the New York press and all that. Yankees do anything to right the ship here? The A's are on their tail as well.
Yeah, they really miss Aaron Judge. I mean, he's been such a huge part of that offense the last year and a half. They haven't really been able to replace that bat in the lineup. With the broken wrist, probably looking at getting him back maybe towards the middle of the month, even towards the back of the month. You always worry about wrist injuries, Marty, especially for a power guy. There's definitely some concern there. You want to take your time with that. But they've missed him considerably. One of the issues the Yankees have is that so much of their team's value is in the bullpen. Now, having a great bullpen is a wonderful thing if you're leading 3-1 in the seventh. If you're trailing 3-1 in the seventh, it doesn't help you a lot. If you look at the Yankees the last couple of days, they don't score. It's hard to leverage that bullpen. Mm-hmm. So this is the way you beat the Yankees. You try to get a lead and you keep them down, because if they can get a lead on you and put that bullpen into play, they've got the upper hand. That's going to be a big story if the Yankees get into the brackets, if they get past the wild card game. It is funny, though. I mean, we're, what, 5-6 weeks removed from just assuming the Mariners would be playing at the Yankees or at the Red Sox in the wild card game. And not only are the Mariners out of the playoffs now, the A's are making a push for the home game in the wild card game. So it's really surprising to see how much ground the A's have made here over the last 6 weeks.
You believe in them?
They play defense. That's the big thing. And I know people don't really like the all-or-nothing offense, you know, the homers-or-nothing offense, but it works for them. The biggest thing for them, Marty, they've gone from being a below-average defensive team to a well-above-average one. That's Matt Chapman. That's you know, Jed Lowry having the best defensive year of his career. That's a better center fielder than they've had years. I know they just sent Dustin Fowler down. We're going to see what this kid who had the game-winning hit the other night can do defensively. But the biggest difference for them, Marty, has been the defense, particularly in the infield.
Wow, great. Boy, Joe, great to have you on. Really, a pleasure. I'd love to catch up with you in about another month, and we'll see where we are. But this is going to be a heck of a month of August with all the, as you say, so many teams jumbled up. It's 1967 all over again, and that was a five-team race to just about the last weekend. So maybe we'll have something like that. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Marty. Take care.
All right, Joe Sheehan. Boy, he is good. He writes all over the place, and check him out on Facebook or Joe Sheehan. Just Google him because that newsletter is just what we talk about, and it really, really is pretty good. All right, more coming up on the Sports Leader.